And good morning again. Thank you for being here. Yeah, as Richard shared and Chris shared, it is a joy, and we are thankful for sure. I was thinking about this. Today is definitely a gift. 10 years is not something we rush past. 10 years represents prayers prayed and tears shed, lives change, faith stretch, and God's faithfulness revealed again and again. But before we talk about the future, before we talk about what's next, I think Scripture teaches us that it's important to remember rightly, and I think that's key. Because how we remember the past shapes how we trust God with the future. So today is not about reliving a season. For the third time in a row, or third time this year, while I was playing hockey, just yesterday, this young guy who's about 20, he probably scored like 15 goals on me, but whatever, and he said, "I could tell you used to be good." So I had a moment there. Well, my knee, this one doesn't work, and this one's on the way out. You know, for a moment, I could have relived all of my glory days or prove him wrong or slash him as he leaves or something. But, you know, I was thinking about that, about not reliving a season of the past, celebrating it, honoring it, being thankful, because ultimately it's about recognizing the same Jesus who had been faithful all along and trusting him. And as we step into the next chapter, seeing his face, his goodness. So with that, I would like to read a little portion of Acts 2. So if you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, please turn to Acts 2. I'm just going to read a little section, Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'm going to read from the NIV. Acts 2, starting at verse 42. And it reads, "They, followers of Christ, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you have done and continue to do and are doing now and will do in the future, Lord. We're just thankful. We're a thankful people. So, Lord, again, prepare our hearts to receive your word. By your Spirit, illuminate Scripture for our understanding. And again, Lord, whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't, I don't. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So when we read Acts, or a familiar passage, especially in Acts, when we read of the early church, the start of the church, I think it is easy to romanticize what's happening here. So often, perhaps like me, you've heard people say, "I wish we could go back to the church in Acts." I don't want to. I don't want to be running for my life. To be honest with you, I don't want to be chased by Roman soldiers. I don't. I mean, I like the bread and the eating and the praying. But I do think it is easy to romanticize. And if you said that, and I'm sure I've said it before, I know what you mean. When it looks simple, when it was easier, that's often how we look at the past. But when we read Acts 2, again, a very familiar passage, we can think of the glory days of the church, but Acts is not describing a polished or a settled community. Acts is describing a new, vulnerable, Spirit-dependent people, learning to trust God in real time. The church has just been born. The Holy Spirit, He has just been poured out. These believers are navigating something they've never experienced before. There is joy, but there is uncertainty. There is unity, but also pressure. There is excitement, but also risk. And Luke, the author, tells us this from verse 1. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. This devotion wasn't about preserving a feeling. It was about a faithful dependence. That word devoted, they devoted themselves in verse 42, and if you drop down to verse 46, the word is then used continued. It's actually the same word, and that word is proskaterio, and it is a couple of words put together. It's a verb. It's an action word, and the first part is pros, which means orientation or direction towards something. It is not inward. It is not a direction inwardly, and this word is only used to describe when you are doing it together. So you, in a sense, part of this word means they devoted themselves. That doesn't mean you can do this by yourself. The next part, the kurotas, if you broke that down, it means strength and power under pressure. So if you put this word together, it could mean, one way you could look at it, is to hold firmly towards something with strength and resolve together. So if you allow me to say that long sentence for that word, I'll read it. They, being the believers, held firmly towards something with strength and resolve together, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Do you see how that changes that understanding of the word? And then if you were, again, to drop down to verse 46, so every day they continued to meet, or, in other words, every day they held firmly towards something with strength and resolve together. So churches, this church that's described here, this early church, this devotion we see in Acts is not just the history of the church. It's the future of the church. It is the church now. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And at Renew, we continue to teach the Word of God, and not just from the pulpit, but through the Bible studies, through life groups, and in our conversations, because God's Word forms God's people. Next, they devoted themselves to fellowship. We sure like to eat. We sure like to be together. And then we love being together. And again, fellowship is, I think, a strength of our church. But the question moving forward is, who else might benefit from our fellowship? Who else might benefit from being a part of what we're doing? Not by pulling someone from another church. I'm not talking about that. But by welcoming someone who does not yet know Jesus. Or perhaps someone who knows Jesus who hasn't been part of a community for a long time. And not just on Sundays, but inviting them to share life beyond this room. That's why we make such a conscientious effort to focus in on life groups and Bible studies and being together. So that is part of this devotion. As a community, all together, are we focused on the teaching of God's Word and fellowship? That means holding each other accountable. The third part, is they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Breaking of bread does mean eating a meal. It also will lead to communion, receiving communion, and praying together. We have a prayer ministry. You pray alone. You pray in your small group. You pray in your life group. Before service, there's prayer. There's prayer cards, Richard mentioned. And we're not just coming up forward to pray, which we do have people who would love to pray with you at the end of service and praying for one another, but we're also talking about around tables in homes and emergency text messages for prayers, independence of God. And I would say this is the kind of devotion that is not behind us in Acts or behind us the past 10 years. This is what God is inviting us to do next. That word devotion, again, is really they saw themselves that the only thing they could do is devote themselves to God's word, sharing life, remembering Christ, and prayerfully trusting in him. Because what was taking place here, if we're going to break this all down, is they are happy to do this for a long time. Jesus tells them, go, and they stay. And then the soldiers come and scatter them. But yet, every time they get together, there's always an emphasis on God's word, shared life, remembering Christ, and prayerfully trusting. And then what had happened, an awe came upon every soul, the New King James. The community noticed. Needs were met. Joy was visible. Favor grew. And then we read, and the Lord added to their numbers day by day. But also this devotion, if we're going to consider devotion here, if we go back to verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. That didn't mean they agreed on everything, but their core foundation was Christ. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. This is still under this devotion. And no, this is not a poverty gospel message or anything. This just simply means that being a follower of Christ costs something. That means you had to say no to something fun to say yes to help someone. In 46, again, every day they continued that same word, devoted, to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that was the start of the church. That was the excitement of the church. This was new. Even if you're not someone who likes change, new is still kind of exciting. And if you don't believe me, why do you keep ordering things on Amazon? Ooh, a package. But this favor is growing. And to be clear, as it says, the Lord added to their number day by day or daily, the church didn't grow because they were trying to recreate old Jewish traditions, although it was evident. We'll see the problem later in Acts. The church, however, grew because they were responding to what God was doing right then. And I think it's wise to consider before we move on, I want to pause and say thank you to all of you who have served in some capacity or another. Thank you for those who have faithfully served, whether it was all 10 years, if you just started serving last week. I'll save that for later whenever we're eating, but thank you for serving. It cost you something. Saying yes to work in children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, tech ministry, prayer ministry, all the other ministries, I'm not trying to leave any out, meant you said no to something else. And thank you to those who prayed and set up and tore down and taught kids again and led groups and opened up your home and threw your dirty laundry under your bed before they came. And your faithfulness matters. And just like in Acts, God has used ordinary obedience to do extraordinary work. And what we see in Acts isn't isolated. It fits the way God has always worked with his people. because Acts fits a much larger pattern in Scripture, I would say. God almost never asks people to go backward. And I say almost because sometimes he invites people to go back to where they last sinned to get it right and move forward. But in the sense Abraham is called, as we have gone through Genesis, Abraham is called to leave what is familiar. Israel, the whole community, follows a pillar that moves daily. David is anointed king long before he is crowned king. The early church is scattered and the gospel multiplies. In Scripture, movement is not failure. Change is not failure. Change is not loss. Forward trust has always been the posture of God's people. And this forward-moving trust is exactly what Jesus speaks into in John 15. John 15 is where Jesus is speaking on the night before the cross. Everything is about to change. And in John 15, verse 5, he's talking about the vine and the branches, and then he goes in and explains it again. And in John 15, 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that word remain is half of the word for devoted themselves in Acts. So yes, individually remain in me, but all of us remain in me. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, if you are not devoted to me, if your allegiance isn't with me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Again, Jesus does not say, preserve what we had. He says, abide in me, ongoing action, remain in me, devoted in me, stay connected to me. He talks about pruning. He talks about fruit. He talks about joy. Not joy rooted in circumstances, but joy rooted in relationship. Jesus forms his people before he sends them out. And as he sends them out, he continues to form his people. I don't know if you know this. You are not a finished product. You did not come off the assembly line ready to go. Most of us, including me, I feel like sometimes I'm only running on 3 of 8 cylinders. But this isn't going back to wait until I'm ready. This isn't going backwards. This is, I am going to be faithful with all of you. It is about being anchored deeply enough to move forward. That's what this branch and vines is talking about. This isn't a one-time crop of fruit. Long ago, this is ongoing fruit from deep roots that are growing. This isn't us sharing stories. 10 years ago, I was faithful. 20 years ago, I was faithful. 30, whatever, I was faithful. Back in my day, the fruit I bared, you know. They're like, well, your fruit stinks now. But this is ongoing. This is deep-rooted roots growing. And to be clear about being nostalgic or nostalgia for a moment, anniversaries awaken gratitude. That's why your birthdays, your marriage anniversaries, or 10-year anniversaries. I mean, the church is now 10 years old. It's double digits. Remember when you were 10? You're like, I'm a big boy now, right? Or big girl, whatever. That's great. That's exciting. And nostalgia isn't wrong, but it becomes dangerous when it replaces trust. I think I'll say that again. more for my sake than yours, but nostalgia isn't wrong, but it becomes dangerous when it replaces trust. So let me give you a picture, because I like pictures. For those of you who have children, imagine looking at your adult children today, okay? And instead of celebrating who they've become, you spend all of your energy trying to make them toddlers again. Put this diaper on, right? That's weird. And you know, not because you don't love them, but because that season felt familiar. Nellie and I were having a conversation with some people talking about, oh, I miss the days when the kids were little and they were so cute. And I don't miss changing diapers. Like, I don't know why we forget that part. That's gross. It's still gross. And for you who are grandparents and great-grandparents, you know, it's not so bad because you don't have to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? That's the dangers. That's some of the dangers of being nostalgic, is you remember things falsely. The highlights. I'm not saying you should go down and just, these bad days. And again, we wouldn't do this to our children. That wouldn't be love. That would be fear of growth. Healthy love celebrates development. It doesn't try to reverse it. Think about your own life. Maybe you don't have children. That's okay. Some of you were deeply shaped in high school or college or junior high. Maybe you were a big-time athlete in seventh grade. You peaked early. I don't know. You were a band nerd, theater geek. Sorry if I'm offending you, but you know what I mean. Science camp gurus. Oh, the list goes on. Those seasons mattered. They formed you. They were fun. No problem sharing those stories, being excited to share the stories. Your fish continues to grow bigger and bigger every time you tell that story anyways. You said that you batted over 600, and then next time I talk to you, you say 700. You know, you were first chair, and really, you know, you had no chair. And those, again, those seasons matter, and God used them to form you and us, just like 10 years ago mattered. But trying to relive them wouldn't be growth. It would be stuckness. I know that's not a word, but it fits. Because what you've noticed, what I've noticed, God grows what he loves, what is faithful, not what's perfect. And growth always means some form of change. And for some of us, when we look back and miss the good old days, part of what we're really missing is how connected we felt to Christ. Maybe there was a devotion, a closeness, a joy in following Jesus that felt especially alive in that season. If that's you, you don't have to go backward to experience that again. You can begin now. You don't have to recreate a season to recover intimacy with Jesus. We do not have to go back to heart ransom to fill those days again, the closeness of Christ. It wasn't about heart ransom. It was about Christ. Again, the warden days, some of my favorite days personally. Thank you, Jennifer. I think she's with the kids. Ooh, I could say whatever I want. Just kidding. You know, we were there for 20 months, 2-0. You remember how cold it was? Yes. How hot it was? Some of you, if you've only known here, bless you. The heart ransom days, the trailer days. I wasn't going to say names, but just the picture of my mind. Sean pulling the trailer every Sunday. All of you setting up the chairs. The backyard days at Paulette's, Beechler's. But, you know, that's exciting. Those are faithful days. And yet we don't want to relive those days. We want to look back on them. And when we go in the other room, you'll see all the pictures of when your kids were little, or you were little, or whatever. And those are great. But that key part of it is the abiding joy and the nearness of Christ then, which is still available now. So one thing I've noticed in my own heart, when I only want to stay in the past or relive the good old days, in some ways, I am telling God, I don't fully trust you with the present or with the future. It's safer to trust what he has done than to trust what he is doing or what he will do. That would be fear. Oh, I remember when you were faithful then. How are you going to do it now? Because the reality is Jesus hasn't changed. And as we look forward, we do so with hope. It's exciting. We anticipate God doing great things. That's what we see in this church in Acts. We see that they're so excited and they're together and it's such a sweet time, and then they're spread and the gospel spreads and it's still a sweet time. And yes, there was persecution. Yes, there was death. Yes, there was hardship, but there's still that joy for abiding in Christ. You know, I was thinking about this further, about Acts 2. You know, if those Christian believers did not leave their homes, we would not have a Paul. Yeah, God could do whatever he wants, but, and more than likely, since we're all Gentiles, there wouldn't be us in faith. So we anticipate God doing great things. We long to see the lost reached. We desire to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are willing, joyfully willing, to make sacrifices along the way. I hope you are. Because the mission of Jesus has always been worth it. Which is why honoring the past doesn't mean living in it. And over these past 10 years, God has shaped Renew through his word. And we've walked through scripture together, not as events, but as seasons of formation. That's why when we read later in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You notice that language of "we," since "we," let us throw off, let us run, marked out for us. It's not supposed to be a solo mission. It never was, and it continues to be. I was looking through some of the sermon series throughout Renew, and I included a couple of them, but just maybe this will spark a thought. Again, I'm not going to go back and do these series again, I don't think. Maybe when I'm 80, I don't know. But, you know, when Allie and I first got here, you guys were in the middle of the John series. The Gospel of John. And then one of the very first series that I did, the first series, was the series on Joseph. You know, and this is not in any order thereafter, but we've gone through Proverbs. We did a whole series of Acts. We did the One Another's. Our first time we were in here, we did Ezra and Nehemiah. We did the Good, the Bad, the Ugly for Hebrews 11, Ephesians. We did the Summer of Psalms, Jonah, the Prodigal Sons, Armor of God, on and on and on. My personal favorite, Psalm 23. Now, maybe I might do that one again. I lied. No, I won't. That's nostalgic. Move forward. Why are you agreeing with me? Come on. Pay attention. But those weren't moments to repeat. They were preparation. Formation always prepares us for what's coming next. So, again, I just continue to be honest. There is a deep desire to see God bless Renew in new ways and in old ways. And we will pray and we will seek. And the Lord, as we stay faithful to what he has called us to do as Christians, we won't be perfect at it by no means. But what will the next 10 years look like? You know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, did we know that we would be in this building? Did we know 2020 would see us leave Heart Ransom to bounce around? But yet, God was faithful and is faithful. But we know who Jesus is. And he has never failed his church. Uncertainty has never stopped God from being faithful and has never stopped his mission from moving forward. So Renew is not just for those who have been here a long time. Thankful for the veterans who were here from the beginning, but also thankful if this is your first Sunday. But this church is also for the skeptic, for the weary, for the growing, for the next generation, for our city, for the world. That's why in John 20:21, Acts 1:8, it essentially says the same thing. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." So get out of here, go tell someone about Christ. Acts 1:8, "As the Father has sent me, even I'm sending you." I mean, it's the same. He just doesn't give you peace this time. It's the same Savior, same Spirit, same mission. The future of Renew does not depend on repeating the past, but on trusting Jesus again and again. And that's why Jesus doesn't just gather us. He sends us. That's an important part. The same devotion that marked the first church is what we believe God is forming in us for the days ahead. You know, part of being sent out, I view us kind of like little pebbles that we get into people's shoes, and we're just kind of, we're noticeable enough that they have to stop and investigate. I mean, if I said, "Hey, we're all going to be these big giant boulders," you'd be like, "Yeah, I'll block people's path, tell them about Christ." Maybe just be a pebble. And I know pebbles can be nuisance, and so can I, but just enough for people to stop and ask, "Why do you have the joy that you have?" That's why in Philippians 1:6, we are encouraged, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work. We'll see it to completion. That means he started it and it's ongoing. So the same Jesus is still building his church, and he is doing it through you, through us. So with that, just considering, so as a church, we celebrate the faithfulness of God behind us. We trust the leading of God before us, the same Jesus. But the next chapter, and that's what we're anticipating, to continue to be faithful, to continue to seek God, to continue to ask him to do only what he can do and invite us to be along with it as we invite others. So we'll continue to preach the word. We'll continue to do outreach and reach the lost. But it also goes all the way back to the very, very beginning of Acts 2. We must be devoted to these things. Not individually, but as a community, having hard conversations when the hard conversations are needed, praying with one another, being with one another, keeping each other accountable and encouraging one another. That is what devotion looks like. That's our prayer. That's our hope. So as God has blessed us these past 10 years, eagerly excited to see what's next. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a couple more songs. Just in case I forget, three different people told me to say this, so that means I might forget, so let me say it up front. It's supposed to be at the end. Just so you know, and Richard had mentioned it too, we're going to have a time when we have our lunch together for you to share. So you introverts who don't, you have plenty of time now to start stressing and thinking of something to share. You don't have to. Darren Beechler was kind enough to offer, or we asked him to. He didn't offer, but he said yes, is what I meant, to MC the event, our time together. This part is directly towards me. Right after our last couple songs, I close this out. Can we quickly move through the foyer, go to the east and get tacos from the taco truck quickly, and not linger around. That's for me. So that way we can all begin together. I'm going to have icebreaker and just, you know, a time of worship through remembering and anticipating and excitement. So again, after the end, go out to the east, go under the hangar, and quickly, as my note, I start it, so quickly, don't linger around, and then we'll do that together. But just the last thing, as we share these stories, let's do so in gratitude and in thanksgiving, with also the eager anticipation of what God is going to do today and into the future. And thank you for being willing to be a part of what he's doing here at Renew. Thank you for your faithfulness and sacrifice. Let's pray. So Lord, as we look back first at Acts 2 of what you did in the early church, Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for really the shoulders that we stand upon way back then, and then even to those of the churches that we grew up in, or even if we, this is the first time we've had church experience. And yet, Lord, we know that the common theme, the red cord that runs through all of this is you, your faithfulness, not ours, although we do want to be faithful. Lord, we're just thankful for these past 10 years to celebrate you and your willingness to do a good work in us, and that you will see it into completion. So Lord, as we sing a couple more songs to you, again, we know you deserve so much more than what we could ever offer you, and yet you receive our worship. Lord, we're just thankful to be a part of your community. Lord, will you indeed help us to be a pebble? Will you help us be bold in our faith? May the next 10 years be marked with boldness in you by your Spirit. So Lord, we're just thankful and we're excited to continue to celebrate all that you've done. We just praise you, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.